Cybersecurity is a sin. A special item number, that is. The General Services Administration established several sins under Schedule 70 for cybersecurity services it believes are in high demand. For an update on how these special item numbers are doing, Mary Davey, the GSA's Assistant Commissioner for Integrated Technology Services. Mary, good to have you back.
Good morning. Thank you.
These SINs have been established for several months now, correct?
Actually, the special item numbers were announced at the beginning of September, and that was after several months of some pretty in-depth market research and working with Department of Homeland Security as well as industry on, you know, sort of the approach to this. So the Cybersecurity National Action Plan called on GSA to establish some services around things like penetration testing, incident response, cyber hunt, and then the risk and vulnerability assessment. So ultimately what we ended up doing after lots of market research and engagement with different agencies was to establish these special item numbers on Schedule 70. So they were established at the beginning of September. We are now going through an evaluation process, and we'll have the services available to agencies beginning October 1st.
Why does this require a special item number in the first place?
So today, agencies can purchase all kinds of cyber services through all kinds of contracts, GSA or otherwise. And what we really wanted to do was to kind of hone down and say, how can we make it, number one, easier for agencies to find and buy specifically what they need in these areas? And then secondly, let's really look at what it means for a company to be able to provide these kinds of services and what the qualification process should look like. So we kind of took that approach. And by creating definitions, or I should say using the definitions for each one of those four areas, then went through sort of a few months of what would the qualifications of a company need to look like, what kind of experience should they have, what kind of skills should their folks possess, and then again to sort of bucket them in a place where agencies can easily find and then buy those.
A particular SIN then could consist of several things that you would have had to buy separately otherwise?
Yeah, so, or just, again, easier to kind of say, if I really need penetration testing services, here's a place where I know that some due diligence has been done, some companies have been qualified, they've been evaluated according to the definition and what we need, and then I can go right to that special item number and then conduct a competition and go from there. So it's a much more streamlined process. Today, there's, for instance, lots of companies on the basic Schedule 70 that provide these services. And so we'll work with them to qualify them and bring them into the special item number if they're interested.
Do vendors have to have already had a Schedule 70 contract to be able to offer us in?
No, not at all. We're actually accepting new offers as well. And part of the research and outreach we did was to conduct an industry day both here on the East Coast as well on the West Coast, you know, where we're finding a lot of, you know, kind of new and emerging companies that may have some specialized skills and capabilities. And so we did quite a bit of outreach with the GSA administrator. And so for companies that would like to offer and get on Schedule 70 and then offer through the special item number, we're going to use our fast lane process, which we've developed for specific areas, which will help us, you know, kind of qualify and get them on schedule faster.
All right, so it's too early then to tell what the agency uptake will really be. Can you give us a sense of how many vendors have expressed interest in taking on one of these SINs?
Well, during the market research phase, we've had interest and involvement, whether it's the industry day or the Interact site that we use to convey information and you know, take questions and get information, or through the webinars that we've held, probably over 200 companies, or at least, you know, kind of wondering, what is this about? Should I apply? You know, how can they qualify? Those kinds of things. So a lot of interest from industry, and what we're doing is we've gone through the initial evaluation process. We've got many more in the pipeline, so we want to have, you know, a good number of companies from which agencies can choose from when the SIN is ready for use on October 1st. And then what we'll do is just continuously put companies through as, you know, they want to make offers or change their basic schedule offering into one of the special item numbers. So it'll be a continuous process. Agencies will be able to find these companies on the GSA eLibrary or GSA Advantage and also on the Acquisition Gateway.
We're speaking with Mary Davey, the GSA's Assistant Commissioner for Integrated Technology Services. I guess my question is, how are you able to qualify vendors so quickly when, say, for like FedRAMP or cloud, it takes so long? Maybe those are two extremes here.
Yeah, so the FedRAMP process, you know, is based on a whole bunch of controls that need to be evaluated. And what we did is we worked with DHS, as well as within GSA, the Office of Government-Wide Policy, the Technology Transformation Service, the GSA CIO Cyber Office, my cyber program folks, my acquisition team, And they came up with a list of things that they'd want to ask a company as well as the evaluation criteria. That was all posted publicly on the Interact site. So basically the answers to the test are available to companies so they know, you know, kind of where they would need to stand in order to qualify. And what we're doing is holding the oral evaluation process instead of just, you know, taking written proposals and trying to go back and forth and evaluate them. And, you know, GSA has used orals extensively. Other agencies do as well. And what we find is just, you know, it's much better, especially in a situation like this, to have a dialogue and to really allow the companies to understand what it is the government's asking for, what we think we need, and then to allow them to tell us how they can meet those requirements and those, you know, what capabilities they have. So the dialogue goes fairly quickly, you know, depending. I think one of the first companies that we worked with, it took just over an hour, and they were proposing on all four special item numbers. So obviously there's prep that's needed on both sides, but to get through that process, it's just, you know, it's much better to have that discussion in person than to try to go back and forth evaluating these kinds of things on a piece of paper.
Now, some of the vendors have wondered if they sign up for, say, incident response and offer that service, or risk and vulnerability assessments. You know, that's one of the sins of 13245D. Yep. What happens if something goes wrong in an agency and there is a penetration or a risk or vulnerability was overlooked that leads to a problem? What are the protections for the companies, and is the contract language in place already to protect them?
They can propose different kinds of terms and conditions, which of course would be negotiated through this process with attorneys. But, you know, in this, and I understand their maybe concern in this specific area of cybersecurity, but really those terms, those clauses, they apply regardless of the program area. So, you know, whether somebody's going to be working on a cloud solution and may, you know, it's just basically a matter of management on both sides from the government and the industry. And so really clearly defining, you know, what the requirement is, what the expected outcome is, and then, you know, where you can state up front how those kinds of things would be handled. And it really would, it just depends on the individual circumstances, and it would have to be, you know, looked at in that case just as it would on any, you know, service contract or anything else.
And earlier you said these sins were in response to a presidential directive and the whole cybersecurity boost effort that's been going on. I guess we can call it a cybersecurity surge. But will these sins also help agencies with longstanding issues like getting their continuous monitoring program and continuing diagnostics and mitigation? Can these sins help them get going in all that?
The DHS CDM program has also been, you know, we've been working with them as well, because what we want to make sure is that we have a complementary suite of solutions available. And so when agencies need the continuous diagnostics and monitoring solutions, we have the DHS CDM BPA for that. And, you know, we're mapping out, you know, the next few phases of that program. So agencies already have available today tools under that program. And so what we want to make sure is that we're not duplicating efforts, but we have, you know, things that are complementary but also provide agencies with everything that they need in this area.
Because it sounds like these would be services as part of not so much the maybe the official program, but of monitoring and continuous diagnostics with small letters.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, it's just agencies really need to look at what their total need is and then figure out how to best address that. So the continuous diagnostics is, you know, it's critical, it's key. And, you know, agencies really need to ensure that sort of blocking that penetration in the first place is probably really important and step one. And so then when things do, you know, get penetrated, then they need to look at, okay, what do we do now? And so what services are available? And talking to agencies, many have companies that are already working with them that can, you know, do both kind of the penetration testing, they can do the cleanup afterwards, they can implement security controls. So again, we're just trying to look at a way to provide a total universe of things that are available to the agencies.
So really, these two programs are more complementary than duplicative.
Yes, absolutely.
Mary Davey is GSA's Assistant Commissioner for Integrated Technology Services. As always, thanks so much for that update.
Thank you.
You can share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive and click Share with Friends.